Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, I don't know if you ever got one of these for a Christmas gift or maybe a stocking stuffer graduation gift. These Bible promise books, these little books that have all the promises in the Bible. And here's what you have to remember about promises in the Bible. You have to ask questions whenever you read a verse in the Bible. Is first off, is this promise made to Christians? Who's the audience is the question you have to ask, because many of the promises of the Bible are made to 6th century B.C. Israel, not to the church today. So you have to first ask, is this promise a promise to Christians? Because if you take a promise that's made to Israel and say, hey, I want to claim that for me, you may be sorely disappointed. Almost like this, and some of the kids are in here, so you may embarrass your kids in here. How many of y'all have kids and they say to you, like, you're at the grocery store, can we buy some ice cream, right? And then you say, not now. And they take that as a promise, right? Not now means later on, we're going to get ice cream. So like the next time you go to the grocery store and they say, can we get some ice cream? And then they say, remember, 2 weeks ago you said, not now. So now can we get some? And you're like, that wasn't a promise. It was just a declaration. Amen? Thank you for that amen, Matt Barnes. And the second thing to remember is this. Is what you are reading really a promise? And here's what I want to mention. Proverbs 22:6, a verse we're going to look at today. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child, you've heard this verse perhaps, in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. And so I've had, not a whole lot, but a few parents who've come to my office with adult children who are no longer walking with the Lord. And they say to me, we raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, we raise them in church, and they're not walking the Lord. And there's this promise in Proverbs 22:6 that says, if you train up a child in the way you should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. And here's what I say. We have to differentiate between promise and principle. Are y'all with me? Promise and principle. And Proverbs 22:6 is a principle, which I'm going to share today. And that thing about in the way they should go really doesn't mean if you raise them in the church and do Bible study and devotions with them, it's a Christian family, that when they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, that they'll continue to walk with Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, today we're going to look at natural abilities, how God has given every one of us natural abilities, and in the 10 minutes I have left, I will attempt, by God's grace, to convey this message, how God's given us natural abilities for us to steward, just like he's given us money and time. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. Very first book of the Bible, very first chapter, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. If you're there, would you say amen? It says this, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. Verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. I'm going to give you basic genetics 101, right? When a bull impregnates a female cow, what happens is they have a calf, right? I've never seen a goat or a sheep or a dog come from a cow, right? Are you with me? This is basic genetics. So this is what this passage is saying. So even humans, we pass on genetically our 23 chromosomes and all that to our children. So here's point number one. When we were born, God gave us physical gifts or natural abilities based on our parents, based on our kind, basically. And when we were born again, John 3:3, God gave us spiritual gifts, which we're going to look at next week. So when you and I were born, when you were born, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, you were born with physical abilities. And the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you also receive spiritual gifts, which we're going to look at next Sunday. and I think every parent does this. Maybe I'm the exception. I'm just the weird one. You remember, like, when your kids are 1 or 2 or 3 years old and everything they did, especially if it was the first child, you're like, oh, it's amazing, right? They're going to be like, a cancer scientist. They were able to add 2 and 2 together at age, like, 2 or whatever, and you, every step, you know, they're going to be the next Michael Jordan. Did you see the way they shot that basketball? And, the goal's like this high. That was my daughter. So when our daughter was two, I remember walking into the room, and the room was about maybe 10 feet wide, and she stood on the dresser, and she jumped across the room on her bed. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing that a little two-year-old can do that. And Tara wasn't home, so I'm like, hey, get back on the dresser and do that again, right? And so Kimmy climbed up the dresser, and she jumped all the way across the room back on her bed, and she's laughing. And I said, hey, do it again one time for dad. So she went across. And here's my point with that. So then I extrapolated. I said, okay, she's only 2 right now. 22 years old, if she adds another foot every year, she's going to set the world record, right? That's what I thought. But here's why. So some of y'all know, Tara was an All-American long jumper and triple jumper, all right? Her dad was like an All-American basketball player as well. So when Tara's dad met Tara's mom and they had Tara, so she was going to be a good jumper. And when Tara met me, Kimmy and Grace are both really good jumpers because we produce after our kind. Now, just to deflate my bubble, and then in 8th grade, Kimmy came home with her speech teacher, and her speech teacher said, worst natural speaker ever. I said, genetics, that's where it's at, right? Kidding aside. So when we were born, God gave us physical gifts, natural abilities, and we're born again, God gives us spiritual gifts. Point number 2 is this, and this is Proverbs 22:6. Turn to Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, or he should go when he's old, will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. That word, in the way, that phrase, in the way, means according to their natural design or bent or how God has wired them. That's what in the way means. And it's a principle for us as parents and as teachers to say, all right, look at your son or daughter and figure out what is the best way for me to equip them, to teach them. Are they like visual learners? Should I show them like a video? Are they auditory learners? Should they come to church and listen to a sermon? Are they kinesthetic learners? Should they learn by doing? You have to ask the question, how did God uniquely make them? Then how is I as a parent or a teacher going to uniquely teach and equip them, right? And if we do that uniquely and based on them, even when they're old and they mature in their gifts and abilities and how God's wired them, they're not going to depart from that. Y'all with me? So that's what Proverbs 22:6 is talking about. Look over one book, Psalm 139, the verse we read today. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13. Are you there? For you formed my inward parts, and the you is God. You wove me in my womb. And that word wove literally means like a weaving. He says, I'll give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That word fearfully can be translated awesome and wonderfully made, and he uses the word wonderful twice in two different, same root, but two different forms. Wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret in my mother's womb, and skillfully wrought. That word skillfully wrought is, again, allusion to verse 13, you wove. It's an intricate weaving. So if you see like a tapestry or a rug or something that when you walk in and see just an amazing rug, you say, man, somebody wove that together. He says, that's what God did with you. You are unique. Just like a snowflake, he said, there's no two similar snowflakes. You are unique. So here's point number 2. There it is. You are unique. So quit trying to be like somebody else. You are unique. You have 23 chromosomes. And with that, there are 8,324,608 different possible combinations. So for the parents in here, if you and your wife or your spouse had 8,324,608 kids, you would have the possibility of having two identical twins that were born separately. All right? So anyone feel like having 8 million kids at all? Justin, you want to have 8 million kids? All right? Erica's like, don't look at me. Like, I'm not going to have 8 million kids. Okay. If you include genetic mutations and mutations that are possible, that number actually rises to 420 billion different possibilities. So literally, even in a world of 7 billion people, you are unique. Are y'all with me? You are unique, so quit trying to be like somebody else, like the snowflakes. You're diverse. And even this, Eposi, one of our deaconesses, she has an identical twin sister, Gemo sister. Even if you have a genetically identical twin, you're going to be different because of temperament and personality and passions and desires and experiences. So no two people are alike. Are y'all with me? Even if I were to clone myself, which is a scary thought, that clone of Ikki Soma would be different from me, even though genetically would be the same because they have a different personality and temperament. Y'all with me? I was talking to someone who came this morning, and they used to be a director of development, a fundraiser for the University of Houston. And this is true for organizations as well. I said, University of Houston, and nobody was like, ooh, go Cougs, right? Is it because they lost last night after the delay? And this guy told me this. He was director of development helping raise money for University of Houston, and this was their challenge. They want to be like the University of Texas. They want to be like Texas A&M. Right? But you know what? Even in organizations and colleges and churches, there's only one University of Texas, and there's only one Texas A&M. To try to be like somebody else, you shouldn't do that. You should look at your own strengths and weaknesses, right? Look at your own niche and say, this is what God has made me strong in. This is what God has made me weak in. This is what God has allowed. And because of that, I'm going to fill a certain niche, right? I don't need a bunch of graduates to be the butt of everyone's joke. Aggie jokes, get it? Anyway. So we'd rather have, I hear the hisses there, I'd rather be a cougar than a longhorn or an Aggie. All right, so anyway, even with organizations are unique, so quit trying to be like somebody else. That's what Psalm 139 is talking about. You are unique, intricately knit by God. All right, we're going to do it. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Good to see you, Gene. Good to see you. Colossians 3:17. Here's the context of Colossians. The church at Colossae are facing these rules of, you know, you shouldn't eat this on Sundays, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. And they've got all these people who are trying to put these rules on these Christians. And so what Paul is doing is saying, let's move away from rules, and let me just give you general principles about the Christian life. And this is one of them, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, accounting, dancing, speaking, projects, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. He says, don't sit there and go, well, should I do this project? Should I do this dance? Should I do this accounting thing? Should I go to this trial? Should I do this? He says, whatever you do, as a representative of Jesus Christ, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 23. Verse 23 says this, 3:23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than from men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So again, he doesn't say, here's rule number one, rule number two. He says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, not for your boss, not for your supervisor, not for your pastor, but he says, you do it because you really are as working from the Lord. Because even if you feel like you're being shortchanged on this earth, he says, you've got an inheritance waiting for you if you'll serve him faithfully. Y'all with me? And if you don't serve him faithfully, you may, the consequences, lose that reward. So here's point number three. As a faithful manager, develop and use your natural abilities to earn a living, serve others, tell others about Jesus, and ultimately put the spotlight on the giver of the natural abilities. Again, you and I had no choice as to who our parents were and the gifts that we were born with, but the gifts that we have, we can develop them and maybe make a career out of them. We can use them, obviously, to love and serve others, but ultimately to glorify the one who gave us those natural abilities. Colossians 3, 17, 23-25. How many of y'all love seeing people serving, working in those gifts and passions? Have y'all ever seen that? How many of y'all have ever been super discouraged by people who are not working in their gifts and passions, right? Have you ever been to a restaurant and the hospitality person is not hospitable? Ever had that before? How many? Four, you know? Come on, you know, and you're like, okay, right? Isn't it? And you've had people who are like, hey, great to have you tonight. How many in your party? And you're like, there's five of us? Oh, five. Are you celebrating some tonight? No, we're just here. You know, it's a Friday night. Oh, come on with me. Come on with me. And you say, hey, can I get a window by the table? Sure, let me try to find a window by the table. People like that, right? You love seeing people who are working in their gifts and passions, right? God, I believe, does the same thing. He's given us all gifts and passions. Years ago, when I pastored in San Antonio, we had a young man, African-American man, who struggled with depression. And I remember he had an apartment all by himself, and his dad was a friend of mine, and his dad called me and said, hey, my son has not been to work in 2 weeks. His supervisor just called me and said, hey, your son hasn't been to work in 2 weeks, hasn't called in. Can you go check on him? So his dad was out of the state, so we went, a group of us from the church, to go check on him. Knock on his door. He comes, and the room is dark. You can tell, like, he hasn't showered in a couple days, just bags under his eyes. He's like, oh, man, I'm not doing well. His afro was, like, just unkept. So then we said, you can't be here by yourself. And so my wife and I said, we've got an extra bedroom. You can come stay with us. So he stayed with us for, like, a month, started going to some counseling and got the help he needed. And then he was finally ready to go back to work. But he was, like, beard out to here, hair unkept. So I said to him, hey, I said, let's go get your hair cut. He said, all right. So my friend Stuart Perriman, who's preached here before, he's pastor of Agape Church. One of his elders is the barber for the Spurs, and he has his own barbershop in San Antonio, and I think it's called Anointed Cuts. It's a Christian barbershop. So I said, Stuart, I got my guy, one of my members. I said, hey, can we bring him over there? He said, yeah, bring him. So we went to Anointed Cuts right there by where the Spurs play, and I'm sitting there waiting, and it was like a block of granite. Michelangelo, kink, 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 and doing all this stuff. And I literally, before my eyes, saw this amazingly gifted barber turn this huge hunk of granite into this work of art. And then he gets this oil sheen at the very end. He goes, sprays it, and it's glistening now, right? And I kid you not, the beauty I saw there, the handiwork and the giftedness of this barber to turn this like block of Afro granite into this work of art, I literally started crying. I was crying. I was like, that is so beautiful. Because here was a man gifted with his hands as a barber who's able to serve and minister to this guy who is just getting ready to go back to work. Are y'all with me? So God wants us to use even our natural gifts that he's born with to serve others and to ultimately glorify him. So here's a big idea for today. You had no choice as to the natural abilities you're born with, but you have a choice on how you will manage them. You had no choice at all. Some of you are great at numbers and accounting and science and engineering. Some of you are good at medicine. Some of you are good at art and dance and all those things. You had no choice in that. So don't say, look at me, look at how amazing I am. God gave you those gifts. But you have a choice on how you're going to manage or steward those gifts. In your bulletin, I've given you a ministry handout. If you take a look at that this week and next week, we're going to ask you to serve in a ministry at City of Refuge based on your passions and gifts and talents. So if you are an unwelcome, unhospitable person, please do not sign up to be a greeter, all right? But if you are like a naturally like outgoing, hospitable person, we'd love to have you serve in our greeter ministry. One area that we really would like some people to step up in is our children's ministry and our youth ministry. So we are pretty close, I'm guessing, to having a next-gen director come. And we want to make sure when that person comes that rather than spending the first weeks or months trying to fix stuff and recruit people, that it's already in a good place. Are y'all with me? So if you have a desire, passion, a calling to work with kids from cradle to college, we're asking you to contact Rachel or contact Ben and sign up to serve. We will train you and equip you if you feel like I'm inadequate and can't do it. We want to make sure that that ministry is in a great place so that when they come, they can focus on improving things rather than fixing things. Are y'all with me? So please contact somebody on that sheet as you pray this week. Some questions. Number one, what are your natural abilities, critical thinking, music abilities, art, humor, dance, communication, the list is there. And how are you using them as a faithful manager? And if you're not using them, would you pray with our community group for God to open doors for you to use those? I'd also encourage you to do this if you don't know what your natural gifts are. If you are in your small group, your community group, ask them, saying, hey, you've been around me for a month, 3 months, a year, whatever. What are some natural gifts that you think you see in me? You've heard me complain about work or brag about work. What are some gifts that you think I have? Number two, why do we sometimes want to be like someone else? And why do we believe the grass is greener on someone else's lawn? Then finally, memorize 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Last slide, I'll make it quick. So you can barely see. This is DJ Andy Hunter. Back in 2002, I was looking for new music to listen to while I run and work out. And I found Andy Hunter. And I thought he's just going to be another, like, I'm going to say this, and y'all going to throw rocks at me or stones at me. How many of y'all have noticed that Christian movies and Christian music are usually like a notch below, like, secular music and secular movies? Anybody notice that? Yeah, okay. Y'all notice that? All right. I didn't ask for applause. I just asked you, like, just notice it with me, all right? So I picked up this Christian EDM artist, electronic dance music, this techno artist by the name of Andy Hunter. So my expectations were really low, all right, very, very low. Because EDM is like club music, party music, very, very low. And I was blown away when I picked up this album. And then I saw on this little sticker, it says, as featured in the TV show Alias, as featured in the Mission Impossible number 2 or 3 movie, as featured in the PlayStation something game, whatever. So Andy Hunter is a world-renowned DJ, but he's also an outspoken Christian as well. So he's like an outspoken Christian, loves the Lord. In many of his shows, he actually brings his wife and his son with him because he wants to be like a family affair and for accountability reasons. But he says, I spin records and do all the computer stuff as worship to the Lord. Are y'all with me? And so that's what God wants to do with all of us, again, using our natural gifts, passions, and abilities to use those to serve others and to point people to him. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for the natural gifts that you've given us and the natural talents you've given us that we were born with. We had no choice, God, they're from you because you told us clearly in Genesis that each kind will reproduce after its own kind. So we pray now that we'd use them and steward them, use them to serve others and to point people to you, and perhaps even for some of us to get a career, a job, a calling, a vocation from them as well. And we ask in Christ's name, amen.